You're with SBS Radio.
When the first People's Assembly of Victoria was democratically elected by Victorian Aboriginal people in late 2019, it was pretty quickly realised that the voices, guidance and knowledge of elders was critical in the path towards treaty and treaties. Heading the move to achieve just that are Assembly members and co-chairs of the Interim Elders' Voice, Gundijamara woman Auntie Charmaine Clark and Wurundjeri Woiwurrung man Uncle Andrew Gardner, who's joining me today online. Uncle Andrew, thanks for coming onto the program today.
Hi Charles, it's great to be with you.
Uncle, let's get into it. What I'd like to start off with is a bit of an overview of the structure, as you see that it may come about, of the Elders' Voice.
We've had these informal chats with some elders in the northwest and the north and the west at the moment of the state. One of the key issues is about representation. So we've talked about elders' voice being local to their immediate area, and then a regional representation, and then a statewide representation. So they'll be formulating their representative format as we progress forward. Once we have the statewide forum, which we're going to have, we're going to bring all those elders together at a statewide forum, give them an overview about what we've done, give them some feedback overarching about what we've actually taken from them in our consultations to that point. And we will be able to go, so in more refining that, how do you actually want to be representative? Because that's going to be important about how you then have that immediate working with the Assembly, the First People's Assembly. So it's going to be important that there is local representation, that there is regional representation, and that there is a statewide focus.
Just to clarify, so what you're doing, or you seem to be doing, is actually leaving it up to the elders themselves to decide on the intricacies of the structure itself at multiple levels.
Yes, to a point. We've given them some, here's an idea, what do you think about that? And they've mulled that over, and it's hard to say, what do you think you want to do? And everything just goes silent. And you know, so you've got to be able to give them some ideas or options, and then they can formulate and then start to think about what's in their best interest that they can actually contribute to as a group, themselves individually, and then as a group locally and then regionally and statewide. So they can see that there's some levels of representation and participation. One main thing that we've really put a spotlight on for everybody is it is absolutely integral now for elders to participate. So we want to try and touch that chord that actually enables people to engage and then to practically participate.
Uncle, you mentioned regional representation and local representation. No one's going to forget the furor that erupted within the community prior to, during and post the elections for the Assembly in 2019, typically captioned by 38 nations. How do you and Auntie Charmaine and the Assembly expect to avoid those sorts of problems? In other words, equal representation right across, regardless of whether they've got native title or registered Aboriginal party recognition.
We've taken that point from last year over the last 12 months to engage the unrecognised members of the community who aren't formally attached to a RAP or native title claim. They've got representation too, and it is important that elders from those areas can represent those constituents as well. So we don't see that there's a concern about that. We've been open in those discussions with elders today, and we'll continue to be that. Once the actual formal permanent elders' voice is established, there won't be any, oh, hang on, we're not represented. How come there's no elders representing us? That shouldn't be in play then.
Uncle, given that the Assembly's work is not the actual negotiation of treaties, in fact, a great deal of the work is steeped in bureaucracy and politics, what are the key contributions expected to be from the Elders' Voice once it's been formally established?
Cultural protocol is going to be their key cornerstone. They're going to be able to help align and enable treaty negotiations based on cultural protocols, respects, individual communities having their capacity to engage with the state. The overarching treaty that the Assembly will produce with the elder support, that will be done with the state. That's the one. That'll be the overarching. Here's all the principles, the key mechanisms, you know, a few things that most communities will be looking for. And then drop down from that will be individual treaties for individual communities. So the overarching one sets the direction and tone, and the others can be more specific and deliberate based on people's requirements and needs of their particular local communities. Elders are going to be intrinsically important in that, because they're going to be able to lead some of those conversations. Obviously, they're not road scholars. Obviously, they're not legal eagles. But
sure,
they can give our traditional law perspective to things. So we've grounded a lot of our elder stuff on the four pillars, and they're really catching on. They've agreed to those, and it's a really great thing. But the estate has to, and we made this clear already, the estate has to come to the table with individual groups, and elders need to participate in that and guide that respect that needs to happen so that people actually take it on board.
But that's actually in the negotiation of treaties, which is not within the purview of the First People's Assembly of Victoria, or one would imagine the immediate elders' voice.
No, but the elders within the elders' voice at a local level,
yep,
involved with the actual negotiating of the local treaty, are going to be intrinsically involved.
So what influence will the elders' voice and the elders themselves have in the decisions made by the Assembly during the Assembly Chamber meetings?
They will be able to provide advice based on some of the decisions and the discussions that are occurring. They will get briefings after the meeting so that they can ratify them. They'll actually get briefings prior to the meetings so they can participate in them. So they'll be informed along the way. For them to be effectively involved, you can't just say, sit here, read this, and we'll come back to you when we feel like it. That's not how we've been catching it. It's not how it's going to be intended to be involved. Nor should elders grab the microphone and go, yeah, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about that. there's got to be a balance, and there's respect both ways. We're going to give it to elders about respecting their capacity to participate, and it'll be in that credible oversight to the business of the Assembly. So what I can see is the agenda will change, which will have some inclusion around elders participating and making comment and giving advice based on some of the propositions that are put, some of the discussions and the background information. They'll get those pre-meeting so that they can come with an opinion.
Getting on now to the engagement with the community to recruit elders or bring elders on board to the elders' voice. I know you and yes. Arnie Charmaine were initially given by the Assembly 3 months to do the consultations, but
yes,
as is the case, COVID lockdown certainly mucked that up for you. We've yes. got lockdowns now easing across Victoria. So what plans do you and Arnie Charmaine have in connecting face-to-face, which is so important, with elders across the state?
We're developing a strategic timeline for November, December now, because those interruptions have caused those face-to-face arrangements not to occur. So we're rescheduling all those. To date, the engagements have been through Zoom and all over the phone. It's a bit clunky. It's a bit difficult. So face-to-face, much better for us. But we will progress with making those bookings with various elders groups around Victoria. And we're sort of working from west to east. So we've done a fair bit of the northwest already, so we'll be progressing through central, metro, west Gippsland and east Gippsland and northeast as well. So there's a bit to do, but the 3 months was always going to be that's a really tight timeline. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get that done, especially when it was advised that we needed to have a statewide meeting.
Yeah,
well, it takes nearly 10 weeks to organize from the outset, so not knowing whether elders would participate in a statewide meeting, it's kind of going to be a bit awkward to spend half that time trying to organise that when people weren't, we just needed to communicate with people. So we're resetting our timeline, and we're making various arrangements through our coordinator, Drew Berwick.
Gazing into your crystal ball, Uncle Andrew, when do you expect or at least hope to have the formal establishment of the Elders' Voice for the Assembly?
We are going to seek from the next Assembly meeting, which is this week, another extension, because the previous extension we got was a little bit open-ended. We're seeking an extension just to explain what's confronted us to date, and that the new set of timeline meetings for elders across the state is now. What's that looking like? it's more likely that we will have a statewide meeting, a report, and a permanent elder's voice probably between March and June next year. So our target's now shifted, because at the end of the day, we need to have conversation with elders.
Yeah.
That takes time. We just can't go click our fingers and all gets done. So we've given ourselves a little bit more wriggle room to actually get those face-to-face consultations done, so then we can have a statewide meeting and give them an overview about where we got to that point. And then we can do the report to the Assembly about establishing the permanent elder's voice after that.
Uncle Andrew Gardner, thanks for joining me today on NITV Radio.
Thanks, Charles. Great to be with you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.